Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people, tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honour, and power, and might, be unto God for ever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. And the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. The Lord will bless further the reading of his own word. Possibly one of the sweetest passages in the Word of God, where we have mention of those that are past the sorrows that we've heard about, that are past the trials and the difficulties of lifetime, and are now before the throne of God. And there's no more pain and hunger and thirst and sorrow. Those former things are passed away. And it's all because they know something of the saving value of the precious blood of Christ. Now I know where this passage fits in for any who would be theologians. I know where this passage fits in the account of the unfolding of God's counsels for things that are future. But I'm going to lift some things out of the passage and just bring a message in the gospel. Looking at the passage overall, I want you to notice that we have the cry of their voice. That's found in verse number 10. For they say with a loud voice, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. The cry of their voice, Salvation to our God. It may well have been a cry of damnation, but here it is a cry of salvation. Because as we learn as we go through the passage, that they have known the salvation of God that comes through Jesus Christ. Now we've been reminded already this evening and in the course of these meetings that there is judgment and there is condemnation. And many are going to send forth a cry that will be a cry of damnation, when it might well have been a cry of salvation. For they, like you, have heard the message of the gospel, known the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and have passed by the offers of God's grace, have passed by the offers of God's salvation, and at last find themselves beyond the scenes of time, and in the vastness of God's eternity, and they're out there, and they know not the salvation of God. It may well have been for them, as they did hear the message proclaimed, a message of salvation, but at last, it's a cry of damnation. Here are a people, and the cry of their voice is this, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Here we have one who's sitting upon the throne. We can come through this book of the Revelation and come towards the end of the book, and we find another throne. And we're reminded of that last evening, where there's a great white throne set up. And again the judgment is spread, and people are brought before it. Those who have died and know not the salvation of God are brought before that throne, and the judgment, which is eternal, is passed upon them. But here it's a throne and those around the throne are crying salvation unto our God, the cry of their voice. Then we have something concerning the clearing of their guilt, verse number 14. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That might seem paradoxical. That might seem a paradox. Might seem strange to be understood, how it is that washing in blood can make white. But this is the illustration that is being used. And the writer is bringing to our notice the fact of sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, because he is called the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the Lamb because in Israel, long before this time when John took up his pen and wrote, in Israel, to approach to the God of heaven, they had to bring a little lamb. And their acceptance before the holy God of heaven was that that little lamb has taken their place. Now John the Baptizer, years after that, can point out the Lord Jesus Christ and say, behold the Lamb of God, the one who is the answer to all those little lambs that had been offered so many times before. He says, behold the Lamb of God. Now John is taking up the illustration again, and he's speaking of the Lord Jesus as the Lamb. Here we have the throne of God and the Lamb. And these people have been cleansed. They have been cleared from their guilt because of the shed blood of the Lamb. That tells me of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're accepting what Christ has done for them, the clearing of their guilt. And then finally, we have the consciousness of their rest. Here are people that on earth may have been in the midst of persecution, may have been in the midst of much turmoil, but at last they enter into the consciousness of rest. And it says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. What a glad day. What a glorious day when they stand before the throne. But come with me to verse number 9. That's the text that we want to use for this evening. Verse number 9, and John says, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. I want you to observe with me that we can take things out of this verse and find their preciousness. I want you to observe that we have the greatness of this company. The greatness of the company. He says, I saw a great multitude which no man could number. Nobody could number the vastness of the multitude that are now seen as those that are standing before the throne. The greatness of the company. You know, when the Lord Jesus was here, someone said to him one day, Lord, are there few that be saved? And the Lord Jesus could say to that man, enter ye in at the strait gate. What was the Lord Jesus saying? The Lord Jesus was saying, don't you worry about other people. You make sure that you're right. Don't be concerned over much with what others are doing, but you make sure that you're right. Possibly the man was looking at the company that was moving along with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had been in the course of ministering, and he was wondering just how many. Was this all that there were? Lord, are there few that be saved? The Lord Jesus says, don't mind about others. You make sure that you're right. Enter ye in at the strait gate. We come to a passage like this and we find the greatness of the number of those who are saved. The vastness of the company. Those who have entered in. Those that have known the salvation of God, as we've been hearing about this evening, and have known what it is to have their sins forgiven. Boys, girls this evening, older ones too, you can know the salvation of God, the forgiveness of sins, through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Then we have not only the greatness of the company, but we have the gathering of the company. You see, it's the purpose of God today to gather out of all nations a people for His name. Now here we notice that these people come from every nation. Is that what our verse says? Verse number 9, of all nations. And that tells me that in the number of those that are saved, in that vast company, they have come from all nations, and so there is no geographical barrier to those that can enter in. God doesn't put the restrictions around people that come from a certain nation. Now He's gone over and outside the borders of Israel, and the wonder of His grace has spread worldwide. And so there's no geographical barrier to those that can enter in to God's salvation. But not only that, He says of all nations and of all tribes. There's no ethnic barriers. Kindreds is the word tribes. And then He says, and all people. There's no social or cultural barriers. And then He says, and of all tongues. There's no language barriers. When we come to the message of the gospel, it's a message that goes forth to mankind. And here we see the gathering of the vast company that stand before the throne. But not only that, I want you to think that this company have great gain. The gain of the company. If you were to go back in your Bible to chapter 6, and we'll read that together. Back to chapter 6 and verse number 15. We read there, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Notice that you have the throne and the Lamb. That's what we've been noticing in chapter 7, the throne of God and the Lamb. And it says, hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Now I want you to notice that last expression. Here are people that are crying for the rocks of the mountains to fall upon them, and to hide them from the face of God, and to hide them from the face of the Lord Jesus as He's moving out in awful judgment. And the Word of God says, and who shall be able to stand? Now come with me into chapter 7. And what does it say of this company? It says that they stand. Verse number 9. It says that they stand before the throne and the Lamb. That's what it says. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Who shall be able to stand? Who are those that can enter into the presence of God and stand before the face of Him that was once here upon earth as a Saviour, and who moved into heights of heaven's glory, proclaimed by God as Saviour and Lord? Who shall stand in the day of judgment? Those that have refused His offer shall never be able to stand. When we come to look at this great company, those that have been redeemed, those that have been saved, their gain is seen. The greatness of their gain is seen in this, that now they stand before the throne. Now, I would count it privilege and high honour to be called into the presence of Her Majesty the Queen, to stand in her presence, or some other personality of equal greatness, and to stand in their presence and to hear their voice. But here's something that is far superior to that. Boys and girls, here's something that is greater than standing in the presence of an earthly monarch. It's standing in the presence of God. Standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. And knowing an acceptance there. Not to be cast out, but to be accepted in. To know acceptance there. Because they have known God's salvation. That's great gain. We might not gather much in this earth. We might not gather much about us as to the material wealth of this old world. The greatest gain is to know at last that I stand before the God of heaven and be accepted in his presence. Who shall be able to stand? Chapter 7, that great company that have been brought from all nations and are the saved of the Lord. But then notice something else. We have the garments of the company. It says that they are clothed with white robes. They are clothed with white robes. Something of the purity of their character is seen in that. And where did that come from? Where did they gain that? Where did they gain that right to stand? And the righteousness that now would clothe the unrighteous one? Or as the prophet could say, to be clothed in garments of salvation. Where did that come from? It came from God himself. So that the book of the Romans can tell us that now the righteousness of God is revealed, not through the law, but the righteousness of God has been made manifest. Even the righteousness which is of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And so here's a company, and they're clothed in white garments, the purity of character that alone is given to them by God when they trust Christ. And finally, I want you to notice the gladness of the company. It says that they had palms in their hands. The palm is a symbol of victory. And here are people who have gained victory. Remember when the Lord Jesus was here? One day, towards the end of his ministry, he's going to enter into Jerusalem. And they bring an ass, and they sit him upon it. And they move through the streets on the road through to Jerusalem. And what are they doing? They're casting garments in the way. And they're gathering the palm branches. And they're putting them in the way as the Lord Jesus is moving into Jerusalem. And they're crying something. And this is what they say. Hosanna in the highest. Let me put that so we understand it. What they were saying is, save now. Hosanna means save now. And as the Lord Jesus was moving into Jerusalem, they're crying their hosannas. They're saying, save now. What was their anticipation? They were anticipating that the Lord Jesus was going to move triumphantly in kingship. He was going to put away that Roman tyranny. He was going to put down those that had risen against the Jews. And at last there had come one that was going to move in glory and triumph. And they're crying their hosanna, save now. Now a little bit premature. Had come a little bit too soon. For the Saviour hadn't come to move into Jerusalem as its king. Just at that time, he was moving in to die at Calvary. But what do we have here? We have the palm branches again. And we have the hosannas. For they're crying with a voice, salvation to our God. Hosanna in the highest. At last, they're crying hosanna, and it's in the right place. And it's at the right time. And they're moving in triumphant victory into the presence of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation to our God. Now, it was said concerning Queen Victoria, one time she moved about her estate and she visited an aged woman. That woman was 104. And as Queen Victoria moved into the little house where she lived, that aged woman asked Her Majesty if she could ask of her a question. When permission was granted, she said to Queen Victoria, shall we meet again in the home above? And Queen Victoria was heard to reply to that dear woman, we shall meet in heaven, for by the grace of God and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is my Saviour too. There are going to be two that form part of that vast company. A queen that sat upon a throne, an aged woman that was a humble servant, and together sing Hosanna to the King. To be able to move into the presence of the Lord Jesus and know that because of the blood shed at Calvary, that's their title to those regions above. And to know that because They have accepted Him as their Saviour. They're moving in with this vast company that's gathered from all nations. And they move in to sing, as we learned in chapter 1, unto Him that has loved them and washed them from their sins. I'm going to ask you a question now. Will you be in that company? I mean, that's what matters after all, isn't it? We could stand here night by night and preach till a head rolled off, if that was possible. But what about that at the end of time? And when the Saviour has come, and those that have been saved, those that have had their sins forgiven, sometime during their earthly lifetime here, rise to meet Him in the air. And with those that have been saved and died and their bodies laid in the grave, they rise to meet them in the air. In that moment, that's what's going to count, isn't it? In that moment, will you be there? In that moment, are we all seated here this evening along with me? Are we going to rise to meet Him in the air and move in to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be there forever? It can be so. Because like these people here that knew the value of the precious blood of Christ, they move in because sometime in lifetime, just a moment it might have been, they accepted Christ as Saviour and their destiny is sealed and sure in heaven above. We trust all that have sat and listened with us this evening, and we thank you for doing that. We trust that you might know the salvation of God and rest in the assurance of the Word of God that you have salvation and will be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever.